Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour four of the nation. We're going all the way till 7 o'clock tonight, Fan After Dark afterwards. Thanks for making us part of your day. We'll get G-Bag of the Day coming up here in 5:30, hit the expressway. Lucius is on his way to Vegas, so he'll be at the big fight here, Crawford and Canelo, over the weekend. So send him some love on social. Let him know he is missed. We have the expressway, and Jake Ferguson's coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. The Jake Ferguson Show here on your home of the Cowboys. Here's the chief of the finest.
Your football quote of the day goes to Vikings quarterback and reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Week, J.J. McCarthy, on his game day mindset. Quote, "It is better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war."
That's a hell of a quote.
I don't know what the hell it means.
I don't either. That sounds like a Nick Sirianni bit.
But it's getting me fired up right now. Yeah, Jalen Hurts is somewhere going, crap, I should have thought of that. He's usually the guy saying weird crap at the mic.
Is he still doing this meditation before games? Like, he sits in front of the goalpost, and he's, I guess, for like an hour or so, and does a lot of that stuff.
Lengthy.
An hour.
Hurts?
He did that in, no, it's about
McCarthy.
McCarthy. You talking about McCarthy over there?
Yeah. Hey, JJ.
Yeah, okay.
Hey,
yeah.
JJ.
I was just wondering because.
Did he really went NFC?
You and the Vikings.
He did that at Michigan. Like, he would sit in front of the goalpost and meditate for, you know, a long time.
Wow. Hey, meditators don't stop meditating. Am I right, Dawson? Can I get an amen?
Well, if we do, we regret it.
Do you ground while you meditate?
Usually.
No, not always.
Separate?
No. Most often in my truck.
It's like a two birds, okay. One stone kind of deal, right?
I should.
And you meditate in the yard?
It might make it more powerful.
And you put your perineum up to the sun?
Yeah, there you go.
That's how you handle biz. Well,
the butts
right
are big rounders.
Third eye.
The butts? The bucks. In the butts.
Thought the perineum thing had you fired
Nobody
up over there.
More butts than you, Uncle Tony.
Okay, so we also have, I believe, an all-time record set in National Football League history. A week 2 players only meeting was called in Miami.
Yes!
We've set a record!
Oh, gosh.
We're going to get a Fire Mike McDaniel banner flown across Dolphins Stadium on Sunday before kickoff.
How fast is he back on the 49ers coaching staff? That's
It'll be seconds later. He will be a quality control coach or something.
Yeah, he'll be back there. And they'll be the 49ers will be hard to defeat again.
Just if they've got anybody healthy, they can play.
Terribly awful situation.
How often do you think player meetings go well? Like, you're getting people together that are young and are mad at the losing, and it probably turns toxic real quick.
And when it's after the first week, we're going, wow, we're already here? This is like a last-ditch effort, like late in the season. This needs to be somewhere in the neighborhood of Thanksgiving time when we're going players only.
I'll tell you what the players-only meeting usually happens, what happens in those things, is somebody stands up and says something that has no business standing up and saying something. And then that pisses everybody off.
It's Jalen Tolbert.
It's somebody will stand
be like
up.
Jalen Tolbert.
Somebody will stand up and say, you know, sit the F down, bro. What are you talking about? You know, that kind of thing.
And yeah.
It's always somebody that stands up that shouldn't be standing up.
How about the Ravens dunking on Cleveland? Because that's who they're playing this week in Baltimore.
Well, and Cleveland's giving them bulletin board material.
They are, which we will get to, but Baltimore and the Ravens are celebrating.
Baltimore used to be Cleveland.
Exactly.
Oh, true.
And they're celebrating their 30th season right in front of the Cleveland Browns' faces.
Oh, that's actually...
Like, they could have chosen any game, really. I guess it makes sense that it's their first home game of the year, and it just so happens to be Cleveland.
No, that's...
But
they did this on
home opener against them? That is genius.
The team that you stole it from, you're now going to be dancing on them.
Stole it? Ugh. That owner was broke.
He just picked up and moved them.
Yeah, well, from a Cleveland Browns standpoint, I would imagine.
Yeah, they're hurt.
So that is a little bit of insult to injury there before
sorry,
the Browns
to
probably go get whacked. No, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay, I meant everyone.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah.
So we also have Derrick Henry being called out to some extent. You have the Browns safety, Grant Delpit, saying that when it comes to tackling Derrick Henry, quote, not hard. Now, to be fair to Grant Delpit, there is a video from, I believe, last season when Delpit laid the wood on Derrick Henry on a pretty nice shot. Yeah, that's right. You're LSU guy.
We're not afraid.
So he has sort of walked the walk a little bit, at least on one occasion.
Fair enough.
Putting it on Derrick Henry pretty good. But this is a Derrick Henry who's going to be, if he's not a grunting running back, which I assume he is, he will be this Sunday because he's fueled up with his own disdain for himself, fumbling away the game versus Buffalo.
He blamed himself. Yeah, he did.
Of course. And then they asked him about the Delpit quotes, and he says, I saw that. We'll see you on Sunday. This is going to be hammer the overs on rushing yards and perhaps touchdowns.
We're going to take the more stiff arms picks for Derrick Henry.
More than five stiff arms.
Aren't the Browns pretty good on defense, though?
They were at one point. I don't think they are anymore.
Well, they only surrendered 7 yards to Broadus' favorite quarterback in the league, Joe Burrow.
All right, they're still pretty good on defense, Brian.
And Myles Garrett's still an animal.
They still have Myles Garrett, Brian.
They do
still. And Denzel Ward.
They would have won that game if they wouldn't have missed some field goals, right?
Yes. It's one of the most all-time Cleveland games
since
that you've ever seen.
Since he's got a chance, first time in the Zach Taylor era and Joe Burrow era. Start 2-0. Wow. Look out. If you let them out hot, they're making the playoffs. They might go all the way to the dance.
They'll lose the last 5 games now.
Oh, we'll get reverse. We'll get a flippy flu.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Thursday Night Football tonight.
We do.
Of course we do. It's Thursday.
Way to go, Eric.
Thank you.
What day is it?
No misinformation on that one.
Thursday.
We've got football tonight at Lambeau Field.
Nailed it.
Now, the Packers are going with their
not the all-white suits.
It's the all-white suits.
Okay, those are better than their retro jerseys, though. Those
they
are
better.
Disgusting.
They are better than the retros.
Little hint. We almost changed the color to that retro uniform.
Oh, thank God you did not.
Way back
in the 90s?
Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been disgusting.
There was talk about changing the suits.
I hope you went in there and laid the hammer down, saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to disrespect Larry Lambeau and others.
It'd be Curly. Curly Lambeau.
Larry, Curly, Mo. I don't give a damn. So
I hate working with you.
They are rocking the all-white.
Is it too late to get out of the pregame show?
I said Larry Lambeau.
I'll slide in for you.
Larry Lambeau.
So they are going with the all-white, and they're asking all 80,000 fans at Lambeau Field to wear white as part of their winter warning, and even though it's week 2 in September. They're going with the winter warning now.
It'll be a nice night in Green Bay.
I bet it'll be beautiful. Now, the problem, here's a couple of things of note for this game. Now, one is you have a Matt LaFleur offense with Green Bay going up against a Dan Quinn defense. History says advantage LaFleur. Now, we've seen that firsthand, of course, the game we don't talk about. 2023 Packers playoffs.
The end of the window.
Why'd you bring
slam
it up?
Shut that day.
But there's been other occasions where Matt LaFleur has bested Dan Quinn in a big way. So that'll be just an interesting thing to consider as we go into this one. But the other thing, too, is that the Packers don't sound overly optimistic that Zach Tom, that's a real name, and Aaron Banks will be able to go tonight on the offensive line.
All right, that's going to be a big one.
So that's right tackle and left guard.
Yeah.
Backup situations.
And Javon Kinlaw is coming off one of his best games as a pro.
Well, when you go up against the Giants, all of a sudden.
That's true.
You get your confidence up.
Good news. Maybe we should start Mozzie this week.
The old tune-up game. Yeah, if you were going to start Mozzie at any point, this would be the game.
The Giants games were good for him last year.
We have seen him get it done.
Build your confidence, trade him.
So I don't know how that...
That's a path to victory. I think I'm gonna back off betting the Packers tonight. I mean, before that, I was thinking 3.5's money in the bank. That's a layup. You know, that's an early season mistake from Vegas that doesn't understand how good Green Bay is. But that one gives me pause. I mean, the Commanders don't have a ton of great pass rushers, but they have Dorrance. They have Luvu. They got some dudes.
Yeah,
they're gonna have Von Miller here before too long.
Yeah, so I can't wait for this game tonight. It's going to be a ton of fun. Now, Jaden Daniels is looking to do what no Washington quarterback has done in nearly 40 years.
It's just Gus Frerotte, huh?
Win at the house that Larry Lambeau built.
Gosh, Larry again.
The last time was 1986, brought us who was the quarterback for the Washington Redskins.
1986, would that have been a Joe Theismann game? All right, hang on. Hang on. 1986, would that have been?
You had the first letter of the first name right.
Doug?
No, it's not a Doug.
It's not a Doug.
Not a Doug Williams game.
It's dumber than Larry Lambeau.
Doug Williams?
J was the first name?
It was Jay, Super Bowl.
J was the first letter?
J's the first letter and perhaps.
Oh, Jay Schrader.
Boom.
Jay
Schroeder?
Schrader.
Schroeder
okay,
Schrader.
So there's
Jay
an O, Schrader. But it's pronounced Schrader.
There's a
Schrader. Yeah, he's the last quarterback for the Commanders.
Wow.
To win at Lambeau Field, 1986.
Yeah.
Mm.
Jaden Daniels is going to get it done
tonight.
He
used to beat the Raiders, yeah, back in the day.
The number one most bet ticket for this game is Jaden Daniels over 20.5 pass completions. The second most bet ticket is going to be Bill Kroski Merritt over 37.5 rushing yards.
Apparently going to get an increased workload tonight.
Bill Kroski, he's a player.
And that still throws me off.
Bill Kroski can run.
The Bill.
The Jacory to Bill pivot.
Yeah, I
did. It is pretty surprising.
Well, where did this come from?
Surprise, surprise. All right, speaking of surprises, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a week two installment of Guess
That Spread.
Here we go. Woo! It is week two of the NFL season.
Shut up.
We have the Dolphins at home where they're doing players-only meetings at an all-time record pace.
How bad is it?
Taking on the Patriots. Wolchuk. Guess that spread.
I'm going to go Patriots should be favored by 3.
Dawson.
4.5.
For the Page?
Yeah.
Pats?
Mm-hmm.
Brought us?
Dolphins minus 2.
Dolphins are minus 1.5. Still favored at home.
It's just people don't respect the Patriots.
I think Drake May is going to have a day.
I think that might be the bet of the week. Take the Patriots plus 1.5.
Lock of the week.
Yeah.
Put it in. Stone cold lead pipe. Man.
Trap bet right there.
How about the Rams going to Tennessee, Dawson? The Titans hosting the Rams. Just guess that spread. Noon kick. Rams. Noon kick. Something to consider.
2.5 for the Rams.
Brought us.
Rams minus 4.
Bully.
I'll take Rams minus 5.
Rams favored by 5.5.
Ooh. Let's go.
In Tennessee, where Cam Ward is having to do a lot of heavy lifting.
Just and Cam it.
Dad's not too happy
tough.
Right now.
Yeah. It's tough sledding. Those Ravens at home versus the Browns, Broadus.
Ooh, Ravens-Browns.
Guess that spread.
Ravens minus 2.5.
Wow. Ravens about 17.5. No.
Yeah.
Ravens 6.5.
Well, Chuck.
Give me 9.
Biggest spread of the week, the Ravens are favored by 11.5.
11.5.
I might even take the Browns together.
No respect for Flacco back in Baltimore to have a big turn back.
I thought I was going big with 9.
They don't care about their defense. Seriously, their defense. I mean, this could be an interesting game. 9-11.
Divisional.
11 point. I think that's a lot to lay in that game.
It's a lot. 11.5 is a big one for a division game.
Really a lot, yeah.
Close.
My bad.
Another division game, we have the revenge game for Ben Johnson.
Revenge.
Chicago goes to Detroit. Wolchuk.
I'm going to say the Lions are favored by 5.5.
Lions by 6.
Dawson?
7.5.
You guys are on it, man. 6.5. Detroit's favored. Okay, you have the Bills. Bears. Bills are going to the Jets. Jets just had a heck of a performance.
They
Justin
did.
Fields, what's going on? Dawson, guess that spread. Jets at home.
Okay, this is in New York. Man, the Bills don't have. I'm gonna bet the Jets no matter what the spread is. But let me get Buffalo minus 2.
Brought us.
Buffalo minus 4.5.
Wolchuk.
I think like Bills 6.5.
Bills 6.5, right on the money. Nice work, Wolchuk.
Oh yeah, I'm loading up on the Jets.
Yeah, I think they're favoring the Bills big time there. You're right. That's a good call.
We have a Super Bowl rematch at Arrowhead with the Chiefs hosting the Eagles. It's another Cheagles matchup. Broadus, guess Cheagles. That spread.
Kansas City minus 2.
Wolchuk.
I'll take Chiefs by 3.
Dawson.
Let me go 1.5 Kansas City.
Philadelphia, the road favorite by 1.5.
Wow.
Look at that. No respect.
Never mind. Better than
when's the last time
better
they were
league?
A home dog? I wonder.
I don't know.
That's a great question.
Dog with Mahomes.
Damn look
right,
at you.
Damn right, it's a good question.
That's a really good question from Broadus.
I can't tell you anything about the Baltimore-Cleveland game, but I sure can talk about
it. We should stop down for a moment of silence and appreciate this. Broadus just asked an absolutely fantastic trivia question.
Dawson's
week 6 of 2022 against the Bills.
Oh, wow, not that long ago.
Man.
Okay.
Some injuries. Let me see if I can get more info.
We have a college football rematch. Between the quarterbacks, Sunday Night Football.
We do. We got a couple this week.
Minnesota with the Vikings. Have the Falcons in town. Wolchuk, guess that spread.
I'll take Vikings minus 3.5.
Dawson.
4.5.
Broadus.
3.
Vikings favored by 3.5. You guys are on that.
Boom, baby.
Nice work. Monday Night Football, we got the doubleheader. Texans hosting the Buccaneers. This will be a fun game.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Broadus, guess that spread. Texans at home.
Texans... minus 2.
Wolchuk.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'll go 2.5.
Pick them. Pick them. Yeah, it's going to be Houston by 2.5.
All right.
There it is. And then the nightcap, Monday night, doubleheader. The Chargers go to Vegas, AFC West battle. It's going to be a fun game. Broadest guess that spread.
Chargers minus 5.5.
Wow. Heavy road favorites right there. Wolchuk?
I do think the Chargers are favorite. I'll go Chargers by 3.
2.5, Chief.
Chargers by 3.5. Look at that.
Read it and weep.
In the books once again. Cannot wait. It'll be a fabulous Football Friday with you tomorrow. But before we get there, we have an hour and 45 minutes of sports content coming up, and the Jake Ferguson Show is next here on The Fan.
All right, welcome back. We're just a few moments now from the Jake Ferguson Show here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. The kickoff Sunday at noon, pregame at 9 a.m. I'm actually going to be out tailgating the parking lots with you on Sunday, so I'd love to see you. And if I see you, I'll beer you. Of course, Broadus and Chief will be on the Miller Lite Plaza there for the pregame show starting at 9 o'clock. And Broadus and Wolchuk will have the postgame show from 3 to 6. It is the Expressway brought to you by the on-time experts. G-Bag of the Day coming up here in a bit. And then we'll continue to talk sports and break down this game for you. Hottest thing smoking. The Rangers won again yesterday and the Astros lost this afternoon. So it's two games in the division. Jake Ferguson Show brought to you by Miller Lite, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Fired up about this this Giants game. How was practice? How the meetings going and everything?
Practice was good. It's been hot. The Texas heat has been doing its thing and, you know, just feeling good, cleaning some stuff up and getting ready to go.
How long did it take you to get used to the heat?
Oh, when you moved here? Yeah. I don't know if I'm really still used to it. There's a couple days that get me, but I've completely changed how I walk. Like I'm real slow with it now because I used to be – kind of high-paced walking, and then I just started to sweat, and it was bad. And now, so I just walk at like a real slow pace.
Are you a big sweater during games? Like, do you have to go through multiple jerseys?
Not jerseys. I can't do that quite yet. But I do go through probably like – I used to go through two pairs of socks because it was bad. I used to change cleats. Playing at AT&T isn't too bad because it's actually pretty cool in there. But yeah, I mean, gloves, wristbands. I'm considered a heavy sweater by our training staff.
Now, fast walker guy piqued my interest because early in my radio days, me and my buddy would always notice the faster somebody walked, the more important they were, and we thought that was a key to promotion. What was your mindset behind being a fast walker?
I was a younger brother, so I had to get to places faster. I had to get to the, you know, when dinner was ready, I had to get to the stove where the pasta was faster than he did. So everything was trying to beat him. And then finally I got out here. I was like, that's not going to work.
Hey, Jake, it looked like while you guys were on weather break that you guys sent Diggs out looking for food for everybody. I mean, it's like he was walking past people that were pushing like buffet carts and stuff like that. Was that the case? How was that hanging out? And did you get hungry during that thing?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you're playing a game, you know, you're not really thinking and like the adrenaline's high. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, you guys got an hour or an hour and a half to do nothing until we play again.
Right.
And then, so all that adrenaline sort of goes away and you're like, well, now what do we do? And we're all just sitting there and guys are walking around hungry. Coaches are walking around hungry, but, you know, that's one of those ones where those delays, you know, we had one last year in Pittsburgh, and it was, whew. I mean, I'm not a personal fan of those. I don't like that. I'd rather play with the Lightning. probably not a good idea, but like, I mean, I'm just, yeah, it's, you definitely got to lock in and you got to, like, once it's time to go, you got to kind of bring yourself back to that game time feeling.
Do you think it changed the texture of the game? I mean, a lot of trends flipped there in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think it's probably hard for both of us to come back, you know, both teams. After that break, nobody scored. So, You know, that's just something, you know, you can make an excuse and be like, oh, yeah, the Cowboys had this break and they, you know, then they weren't ready for the game. But at the same time, you know, they're going through the same break as we are. We got to capitalize on a lot of things that game. So
do you have to double up on the smelling salts after a delay like that?
Not from the coaches, because that's illegal now. So we have to bring
that's right. So are you a bring your own smelling salts kind of guy?
Yeah, every once in a while. Our O-linemen are big. I mean, they've got their smelling salts with them. So
did they have like a whole team meeting about this? Did they have a smelling salts meeting when the news broke? Like, how did they approach that with you guys?
No, it was actually, I was ready to go, like, because I do it almost every drive. And preseason, we were kind of, I was like kind of getting hyped for some of the rookie guys who were going in. And I walked up to one of our strength staff guys, and I was like, we got the salts, like, can we get it going? And they're like, you did not say that to me. Don't ask me that anymore. And I was like, whoa. And they're like, it's completely illegal. So, yeah, they're pretty strict on that.
Okay, one thing Eric and I, we noticed when we went to Ranger Spring training, there's like an absence of Gold Bond. And talking about the sweat earlier in the interview, are you a big Gold Bond guy? I mean, what are you using? Because the crotch rock is an issue.
Yeah, you know, I don't really get that very often. I do have a buddy, you know, well, Tyler Biotis, he was a center here for a while. Yeah. He used to put the most absurd amount of baby powder on to where he would be doing like QB center exchange, like snapping the ball, and all of a sudden he'd snap it to the QB and you see a puff of white smoke.
Yeah. Looks like LeBron's coming in the game.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Badger, what's going on over there?
Got to powder the donuts, man. I think it's important. What about, is the jock strap still alive, or is that, have we done away with that?
Yeah, every once in a while. You know, yeah, I wore it like twice last year. I don't know. It's weird because you also got to wear the leggings.
Yeah.
And so you just got a lot going on. I'm not a fan of wearing like three different layers under your, like, I just feel constricted. I feel like there's a lot on me. So I try to wear as little as possible.
You do a little shirtless pregame action when it's like super cold just to send a message?
No, I did my time in the cold. I did, you know, 22 years in Wisconsin. I don't have to act hard.
Hold on. Did you just tell us? That's funny right there. But did you just tell us you go commando out there? Is that what's going on?
I don't know what you heard. I don't know.
Speaking of the cold in Wisconsin, I saw a list of the top 10 college bars ranked by The Athletic. When you think of University of Wisconsin college bar, what's the first one that comes to mind? Because I have one here, but I want to see your thoughts.
I already know which one it is because it's just automatic. My top bar at Wisconsin was Wando's. It was a
Wando's.
Yes, it was a football bar, and like there's football jerseys everywhere. My name is on a license plate. He does license plates on the back of the stools, and so my name's on one of those. A couple of my buddies have them, but the one you're talking about is College Club, isn't it?
Okay, it's funny you say that because it's actually Wando's. Wando's got the nod, bro.
Let's go, Wando's. Yes,
they paid respects to, the Great Dane?
Wow.
But they were really, really loving the Wando's bar because I guess it was a guy, Jay Wando.
He was a punter. Yeah.
And then he opened
up. I used
up.
To work there. You know that? I was a bouncer.
What? Okay, yeah. So that's what I read. I didn't read that you were one of them, but they listed a handful like J.J. Watt, Zach Bond. Like, he leads the league in drafted bouncers.
The coaches, back in my day, the coaches used to encourage working at Wando's because it was the trenches, man. I remember I was bouncing one night and there was a fight on the first floor and I'm in a kick set, like getting these people out of there. But I was like talking to some of my other teammates who were working that night. I was like, I just had the craziest pass pro down at the front door.
Put me in a tackle, coach. I, like, I got it. Now. That's hilarious, dude. So how long did you do the bouncing? How many semesters?
Yeah, I worked there for 2 summers.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the other 3 summers that I was in there, I knew the code. So, I was in there quite a bit as well.
Did you have to check IDs and stuff?
Yeah, but I didn't. Yeah.
Okay.
On record. Yeah, yes, I did.
See, that's what I'm saying. Did you ever just look at somebody and start laughing?
You're good.
Oh yeah. You can. Yeah. I can still tell to this day if it's a fake ID or not. Like,
now the Wisconsin driver's license is different, right? I mean, it's got the date of birth is weird on it. And if I'm, cause I was up in Green Bay for 5 years and had a Wisconsin license. I thought I never could. Like, people ask me, what's your date of birth? And I try and show them the driver's license, and it was you never really could find
it. It's in a different spot.
It's in a different spot.
Yeah, you always got to look different. But the key was the – well, first of all, the corners are always the key.
Right.
But
– oh, the corners of the license. That's the giveaway?
Yeah, the giveaway is the corner of the license plate. The corner, and then everyone says the bend test, but – I don't believe in that. I'm always looking at the corners.
Yeah.
I'm reading about the fishbowl that they served up, which just seems like a total adios mother bleeper from Fry Street. Woolchuck.
Cool beans.
And then Wando's had a little free bacon night?
Mm-hmm. Tuesday night, free bacon night.
Okay, so what are we getting with this bacon?
Just bacon.
You know, I knew the chef back then, so it was like 1 a.m., like getting ready to go, like leave, go home for the night, and he'd have something cooked up for me.
Wow.
The thing was, is with the I love Wando's, but I'm going to throw a little shade. The thing was, is the by the time you want the bacon at like 2 a.m., it's not good. You know what I mean? Like,
not
you go
fresh.
In, but you go in right when they're right when it's coming fresh off, like around like 7, 8.
Are we talking about that good thick smoked bacon, like the Applewood stuff?
Crisp, yeah. He's got. I mean, it's all different stuff. It's bacon, and then you want the little crispy bacon. He's got it.
Wow.
All right, let's do a little impromptu versus with Jake Ferguson here. Sausage or bacon?
Turkey sausage.
I mean, if that's that's your wheelhouse, bro, you got to stay lean, I guess, right?
I'm
thinking about a pork, greasy, nasty sausage patty. That may have a
patty?
Side of syrup with it.
Patty, I'm a sausage link guy.
I prefer
sure.
the link as well.
I am a link guy, 100%. Yeah, sausage link for sure.
All right. Breakfast standpoint, is breakfast the most important meal of the day for Jake Ferguson?
No. Second dinner is the most important.
Second dinner. What's the second dinner? What are we usually going for?
What time is this?
Second dinner usually comes around 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh.
You know, if I'm like, oh yeah, I'm dialed in. I'm eating good. You know, it's always some sort of protein. I'm a huge chicken at night guy. But then, like, if I'm really fighting and I'm like, you know, I feel light, then the Whataburger patty melt starts talking into my ear.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
How many patties are we talking here?
Yeah, you ever double up on the patties, like making a triple?
Patty. Yeah. You know who taught me that? Zach Martin.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Good legend.
Zach Martin was one of our player show guests 2 years ago. Now, Zach apparently is not into Thanksgiving food. When we get to the Thanksgiving time this year and we ask you, what are you having for your spread? Are you into Thanksgiving? Please say yes.
I am very big into Thanksgiving. Huge.
Who do you think is the biggest eater on the squad?
On the team?
Yeah.
Ooh. Man, we got some big backs for sure. we got some guys. Like,
Hoffman looks like he could put it away.
Brock Hoffman, he's borderline gross when it comes to grub. TJ Bass is wicked. Cooper Beebe, I've seen put down some food. We had a little dinner before the season started, and he was, lobster, all of it. He was.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kenny Clark can put in some work.
Yeah.
Legs on that guy.
I haven't seen it, but, I haven't seen him grub.
Yeah.
But, no, he's a dude for sure.
As long as we're talking food, I wanted to follow up with you on the Oreo storyline from the offseason. Are you still off the Oreos?
Sadly, yes.
How much are you missing them?
That's bad. My girl got me a double stuff pack. She was like, welcome back from camp. And there's pack of double stuff Oreos there. And I'm like, you got to hide these. Hide them. And so... Yeah.
I mean, the double stuff is the standard, right? Like the regular Oreos, I don't even see those.
I don't eat those. I can't. Yeah, that's criminal. And then the double stuff, you have to get double stuff because as a former big back like myself, you learn that you take the fork and put it in the double stuff and then dip it in the milk so your fingers don't get milky.
Yeah. That's an all-time pro tip.
It is a pro tip.
Yeah. Ooh.
Now, how many were you looking at per week?
Oh, at least a row. Per week?
Yeah.
I could probably put down a whole row right now.
Yeah.
If you gave me a glass of milk, it's not even about the Oreos. It's about how much milk do we have.
Now, how much has your body composition changed as a result of this diet turn?
Yeah, it was big. It was huge. I think percentage-wise, I dropped body fat to I'm around 14 or 15 right now, but I mean, there was a point in college, if you could pull it up, Rose Bowl game. Oh, my God.
Big man.
huge.
You're like laboring out there a little bit.
I had like a little catch or whatever, and I'm pointing first down in my gut. Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
I got the little belly button ring through my jersey. And like,
oh, I see. Like, oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, I see. I wasn't the tight end. I was the jumbo tight end.
So what is, how's the body feel? Is the first week and you're banging around for the first time in a while, is the soreness more at this point, or is that for later in the year when you start kind of feeling that?
Yeah, I would say this. It's always more sore after that first one, just because your body's not ready for, you know, the contact. You know, it's like, and you can go through camp, but like at the same time, you're not getting hit, taken to the ground, and having bodies fall on you. So I always say that's pretty sore, but it's more of like when you get later in the season, it's more of like a lingering like ache, I guess you would say, and like the legs start to feel heavy, and it's less of like, oh, like my back hurts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's more of just like the aches and the bruises and stuff like that.
So were you thinking, I want to take pressure off my body, or were you thinking I have to look good in that tux for the wedding?
Yeah, both. I mean, yeah. Well, one, I wanted to run a little faster this year for just the good of the good. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then the other half, yeah, I mean, I was just like, I finally got to a point where I was like, I need to stop, like, because this is getting out of hand. As Oreo crumbs are all over my shirt.
Yeah. I'm disgusted in myself right now.
Yeah, it was like a scared straight moment.
So, it's Giants week, but where does that hurdle against the Giants on Thanksgiving rank for you when it comes to favorite personal plays?
You're saying what's my favorite play?
Yeah, your personal ones, because I mean the Giants hurdle, I think a lot of fans, it stands out in their memory.
Yeah. That was just a young Ferg, man. No, I think my favorite memory is probably the Seattle game. That one is probably my top, and then another one would just be, you know, the first Philly touchdown. The first touchdown I had in the league, which was against Philly. That one was pretty cool. But then I got so many more coming. I can just feel it. You know what I mean?
Starting this week.
Hells yeah, indeed. Baby. Do you have a favorite? Like, these play calls are pretty wordy. Like, could you rattle one off right now? Like, could you just tell us a play?
Yeah, you want a long one, or?
I want the Jake Ferguson, I know I'm getting the ball play.
Well, I can't tell you that.
Okay, all right. Then
we do want a long one.
Yeah, give me the long
one. All right, it'll be the – it'd be like buzz right fly, 62 duo kill, 69 strike, or something like that. I mean, those are just like run plays, but there's always – like my brain, so like when a play call comes off, I only listen for like three things.
Right.
Like the first word, or like the first formation. If there's any shifts or anything before that, that's what I listen to. The protection I have to listen to a little bit. And then the actual play, like there's all these little things that mean, like mean certain things to certain people. Mm-hmm. And then there's numbers, and it's just, I mean, once, now that I've been in it for, I mean, honestly, I was probably pretty good after year two, but that's just because I came from a pro-style offense. But, like, once you realize, like, some of these words don't matter to you, your brain just shuts off. And so, I mean, and also Dak, it's so much different from, like, Will Greer in the huddle.
Yeah.
He'll be like, hey, guys, all right, trips right tight. Dak gets up and goes, trips right tight. Blah, 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 and it's just like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
He's got it, dude. So, like,
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's always fun to see the rookies, like, they'll be going with the threes, the twos for a little bit, and then they get in one time with the ones, and they're just like, what did he just say?
Well, that's good. That rolls into one of our fan questions for Ferg, and this is from Jacob. He asked, how's Clayton Adams affected the run game, and what do you love most about Shoddy's new offensive scheme?
Yeah, I think Clayton is doing a phenomenal job. He's, like, I love this run style that he's bringing in, and you know, he preaches being physical and, you know, just moving the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And that's always fun. And you can also, it's one thing when, you know, someone's preaching it and, you know, it might not be happening, but like he demands it out of us, and that's like exactly what we need. And so I think the run game is, you know, like it's on the right track for sure. And then Shoddy's offense, you know, there's just so many different builds, so many different plays out of said builds. It's fun. And, you know, from a offensive like perspective, like we have so many weapons, but at the same time, like our plays are built for us. You know what I mean? And then on the flip side, like you hear the defensive guys talking and they're like, man, like you just don't know what to expect. Like it's, there's so many different plays out of this one build. And then there's also like, it's the same play out of different builds. You know what I mean? Like you, it's just the versatility is crazy.
It is also Bama week, Jake. If you got to run, just hang up or tell us we got. But I'd love your thought. They're down to 9. Are you holding out hope for a dub?
Yeah, man. I'm hoping.
We're sending DeBoer packing.
Yeah, no. I just want to see a whole lot of eye formation.
Yeah.
Whole lot of power. Maybe a little tight end leak. Their tight end's doing good right now. I just saw he had like a 100-yard game or something like that. But yeah, no, going into SEC territory, we'll see.
You got to settle up with Booker. I mean, on Wisconsin, you know, got to make him sing or something, right? Yeah. Get that victory, right?
Take the points, though.
Yeah. Take the points. What is it?
it's like 21.
I think I got him straight up.
Let's go. Hey, you're the man, Jake. Two up, two down, dude. You're doing a hell of a job with us. We really, really appreciate you coming on, and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
There he goes. Thanks. The Jake Ferguson Show brought to you by Miller Lite, proud sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go into the Pimp Cup. Jacob Ray in for Lucius has your G-Bag of the Day.
All right, gentlemen, G-Bag of the Day time. Kind of hitting, we're pinch hitting it a little bit, so none of these audio clips are mine, but we're rock and roll with what Lucius had.
You're like one of our little rascals, bro. You're about
That's
to
exactly
hit a dong.
That's exactly what it
the
is.
The little rascal, Jacob right, Ray.
So I'm not going to lie, I'd ask Carter who the champ was. Is it Botch?
Yeah, Botch Lombardi.
All right. We got Botch Lombardi. This one's titled, Botch Was Explaining Things to Us During the Break.
Javonte pairs with them well because he's patient and he's physical. So the more Tyler's pound on you, like he gets to come behind you and then pound. There was this one play. Boy. Ah. Ooh. That was his one play, boy. Javonte Williams. Boy, he just got up there and he dragged. Damn, boy, he dragged everybody.
It's all you. He had one today, too. Had another one.
No way.
Yeah, back to back.
Back to back.
In the
back
house.
To back.
Was it the Tylers at it again?
Oh, it was more pounding. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. When you start talking about that line of scrimmage,
yep.
It can get greasy.
Giants defense, you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Greasy. Look at you, old Chuck. It's disgusting. But it's great content. I love when he steps in it because he handles that the best.
He does.
Like the way he just kind of leans back and hams it up.
Yeah, he does. Hilarious. He's got, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Today he tried to fight through it, and like Derek and Ambar and I were not, we just kept talking, and he's kept trying to talk, and we wouldn't let him. Yeah. We wouldn't let him get through it. Is what we did. Yeah.
I mean, credit to him for keeping it going. I mean,
he knew. He knew immediately he said it. He knew. Yeah.
Gotta throw your fastball.
Gotta go.
Oh yeah. All right. Up next, we got this one's titled "Cole Out Here Living Foul." He has a girlfriend, but still very active on Tinder. Her friend caught him in the eye.
Why did Lauren just text me this?
What's that?
Your Tinder.
That's old.
That's not old. It says you were active 2 days ago. Can I see your phone?
Uh-oh.
Let me see your phone.
No, we trust each other. No.
No, let me see it right now.
No.
Give me your phone. Stop. Give me your phone.
Oh, no.
You're literally on Tinder. You gotta go. Go. Literally leave right now.
You gotta go. No. But we trust each other, baby.
Yeah, baby.
We trust each other.
That is so good.
That's just a must leave, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't even think he tried to fight it. It didn't sound like it was an LTR or anything like that, not a long-term relationship.
Oh,
it's just sloppy.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Like when you're – it's just
– Just go back.
You're gonna get
found out now with that app that Lucius is telling us about. Like they're basically just outing you. You got to be careful out here.
Yeah.
You can't do it anymore.
Spilling tea everywhere.
That's confident, though, having it right there on while she's standing there, right?
Yeah, it's next level.
Gosh. Next level.
I didn't even try to hide it.
Just disrespectful.
Not at all.
Almost everything about social media seems better, but it's actually worse. You want to date like that?
Yeah. I got caught doing that with my girlfriend. We were like 6 months in, and I was like, dude, I've never been on Tinder, man. Let's check it out. And like some chick from my high school DM'd her on Instagram like 5 minutes after I was logged in.
Wow.
I was like,
all right,
here we go.
Did you say, but we trust each other, baby?
I did not say that. It was actually in the middle of COVID. I hadn't seen her in like 2 months. So, yeah, it wasn't a fun situation, but I got myself out of it. Thank God.
Nice work.
Well done.
All right, this is the only one that I
grabbed. Yourself out of it?
Oh, I think I just deleted the app and deactivated my account. And I was like, I just never been on it. I wanted to see what it was about. All my friends talk about it. She's like, all right. She didn't talk to me for like 2 days, but you know how that goes.
She got over it.
Yeah, she got over it. Yeah,
we'll give nice work.
Yeah. We know how to wiggle our way out of that one. Yeah, no kidding. All right, up next, this is the only one I grabbed. I saw it on World Star. Some elderly lady shot a flare to the manly section of her neighbor.
Fucking idiot! What is wrong with you?
I've lived in Manhattan. I've lived in San Francisco. I've lived in Boston. And nothing ever happened to me. I moved to Suffolk County in a senior community. Oh. And my neighbor shoots me in the face with a flare.
She was not afraid of me, though. She kept coming out, mocking me, telling me I'm a demon.
I'm a demon.
So it was the face and the nuts.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the sound, but I did see the clip. And, yeah, it's like two grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Like old folks.
Yeah, it's tough luck.
She's firing off.
That's amazing. How much oomph does a flare gun bring? I mean,
he had a pretty big gash on his forehead, so enough of him for sure.
Sounds like Chargers should be in order.
Yeah.
I think that's a home run for you right there. If you have beef with your neighbor and she or he shoots you with a flare gun, I don't think you should see her for a couple months.
Yeah, we're going to call it off.
Yeah.
We're calling off.
Because I can't imagine that's fatal. I can't imagine. No. I mean, you might be able to do some fatal things with flare gun. But
hit him in the eye, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, catch on fire. Yeah. I mean, it sounded like he'd been hitting somebody. The junk recently and wasn't like doubled over in pain.
Yeah. Like he enjoyed it.
They might have built those flare guns with that idea in mind.
Hit me again.
Come on. Shoot me in the.
All right. This one I have heard. This was a gentleman who was trolling some Steelers fans after the game. This one's kind of short, but it has its fair share of bleeps in it.
Imagine rooting for Schittsburg.
Don't call it Schittsburg, motherfucker.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, a fight.
I saw this one. The girl was, she was walking past this guy with her friends and he said it and she heard it and she came back after him.
She wanted more.
Yeah, she wanted the smoke. Like she was walking by and he just said it just kind of randomly to people and she came back. The friends kind of kept walking and then they had to come back.
Yeah.
Like pull her off. I mean, she was giving the guy the business about it. Yeah.
You hate to see it.
Yeah.
You know.
Steeler fan. No?
I enjoyed that fan base when I was out there.
They nice to you?
They actually were. And we took the dub.
Yeah. These content creators are going out at night, like after games or at bars, like agitating people.
Yeah. See, that's the difference. Like I wasn't saying, haha, Bleepsburg, you know, and just rubbing it in their face. But they were actually pretty cool.
And then what's up with these women that want to go on the assault? You know, I feel like they don't believe anything's going to happen to them.
Yes.
You know, like
the boyfriend the entitlement in a bad spot.
of the violent woman in this country, I believe, is at an all time high.
Yeah, the Karens are out of control.
All right, I witnessed. I saw that the delay was going back up, so the dump button was hit. I want to go on record saying Lucius Alexander cut that up and
cover your ass, Jacob.
So I know we learned from last time.
Especially when Wolchuk's on the show.
Yeah,
you got to be careful.
No kidding.
Make sure that
didn't have a slip up.
I got ready for Fred and Blake here coming up after this show too. So.
Fred Blake, jeez.
Yeah, Blake. I'm sure. I mean, he's no longer in his rookie year, so I think he's got a full understanding of the words that you can't use on the air. But it wasn't always the case.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
You're right. I don't think he does.
I don't think he does. I was listening to him last night.
We can say bleep, right?
Yeah.
He doubled down on it. Anything else, Jake?
I got one more. Okay, this one's titled. This one's Lucius as well. It's titled "The Playmaker Used to Hypnotize the Ladies with $1 million Checks."
That first check. That's my check right there, y'all. That check, that $1 million check. I left that right there on the table. Right in my room. So as soon as they walked in, they said,
That's your chick?
I had my financial people calling me, talking, man, send that check. Michael, we're losing. We're losing. I said, shoot, I'm winning.
I'm winning.
What you talking about? I'm winning like a mug. What? I said, what? Y'all tripping. What? Hey, but it's real.
Yeah. I don't think that thing would get cash or deposited for quite a while. Maybe get a carbon copy of it. Is it Vach Lombardi, our champ? Is it Cole on Tinder? Is it World Star Lady shot a flare to junk? Is it Steelers fans getting trolled by a Jets fan? He lost and he was trolling like that.
Yeah.
Playmaker used to hypnotize the ladies with $1 million checks. I'm going to go with 88 here in this situation, Chief. How about you?
I'm the 88.
Give me the champ.
A vote for Vach, Jacob Ray.
I'm going to stick with Vach as well.
It's 2-1, Wolchuck.
I'm going to go with Bleepsburg.
It's 2-1-1, Brian.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go with Vach and the guys.
By a score of 3-1-1, and still your G-Bag of the Day champion. Two, looking for five now. The goal of the G-Bag of the Day champion is to make it to five-time status. That's your Jeopardy format, at which point you're back for the Tournament of Champions, so to speak, which we call the G-Bag of the Year.
I think I'm up for like four of those, right?
Something yeah. Like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're dominating this year.
Yeah, I'm dominating.
We might end up naming the G-Bag of the Day after you by the time you're done this year. And who knows? We still got, 2.5, 3 months to go?
Plenty of time.
3.5 months. All right. Let's reset the Jadeveon Clowney insider report that you had earlier, Brian. Why didn't the Cowboys sign him yesterday?
Yeah. From just talking to some folks in the organization here a couple hours ago, we wanted to know. And I said, hey, well, was there a chance here? Was it something to do? Was it, you know, did he... physical, something happened, too much money and all that. And my guys were like, no, this guy, we wanted to sign him. We were prepared to do it. He just made a determination that he wanted to wait. And this always makes me feel, and I said it to you earlier, Dawson, that maybe the agent got to him, sent him a text and said, hey, we've got some other things kind of percolating here. You know, if you want to take some more visits, I mean, he gets a text, looks down at it. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, hey, thanks for having me, guys. And then the next thing you know, he's going to take a visit to Tampa and he'll take a visit to back to the Ravens. And you just don't know. So
I think Kansas City, Detroit, like a lot of teams that could use him.
Yeah, you just don't know. So maybe he got that. Maybe he got that text and it made him kind of to pause and not sign with the Cowboys. But so the Cowboys wanted to do it.
You Dallas.
What's that, buddy?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. So you take the Dallas meeting first. It blows up in the headlines and on social media. You're throwing chum in the water. Now, all of a sudden, other teams are blowing you up. Does it really work like that?
It really does work like that. Hey, absolutely.
The agents have tried to do that a lot throughout the years, right? You just get the Cowboys interested in you. Even if they're not interested, you just throw the Cowboys name out there.
Just take that one visit, and then you're off and running.
I mean, I would be wanting, if I'm Clowney, exactly everything the Cowboys are offering as far as playing time and demand for my services. I probably, you know, want to maximize my money. I wonder if he watched practice and said, man,
there was a picture of him there
with Josh Brent practice. Yeah. But I was going to say, I wonder if he watched practice and decided these guys aren't that close. I wonder if that was a factor at all.
That's fair.
Could be.
Fair assessment. Yeah.
Josina Anderson reported the Cowboys are going to continue to monitor it. And based on what Brian said, I feel like that, you know, that offer is on the table and we'll have to keep our fingers crossed. I wonder if a different team makes a higher offer, if the Cowboys would be motivated enough to add him. Would you? I mean, looking at every defensive end they have other than Nealon, there's not a lot of run stopping there on the edge.
Well, it might be this is where you've got you know, you've already got Turner on the injured list, but that's 3 weeks, three more weeks for that.
And then he's probably gone.
Yeah. So then
if you sign him.
Yeah. So it you have to look at the situation where this thing is at. Is it going to be another edge, or is this maybe like the end of a guy like a Mozzie Smith? You know, you're going to have to find a roster spot somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I think for one more week, I would look at. I don't want to deter Ezeraku from getting opportunities.
Yeah.
And so I mean, that's the one I worry.
He was damn good against the run in college.
Yeah.
Ezeraku wasn't just okay. He was amongst the best.
Yeah.
How's that transition work? Do you think he's big enough to do that in the pros?
No, I think he is. The problem that he runs into, though, we have just not seen him in games be as quick off the ball and attacking like he was in practice.
I think he's overthinking a lot.
I think he might be.
He's trying to do like one too many things.
Yep.
I mean, he had one play where he's trying to bull rush inside, which was a terrible decision. Then he's trying to spin and
back.
The guard just completely obliterates him.
Yeah.
Looked like that one hurt.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
He got smashed in between my lot. Yeah,
I was like, yeah. Oh, that, welcome to the NFL, Donovan Ezeraku.
Yeah.
I think the most encouraging thing is we sit a week out from Cowboys-Eagles in retrospect and seeing these numbers and efficiency rates of the run game is how much, you know, they have maybe improved just by adding Booker, putting Javonte Williams in there, not running Zeke, and then having Clayton Adams and Connor Riley working on this. Yeah. And he said the run games at times convinced him they knew what they were doing, but he was ultimately disappointed that they weren't able to run effectively when necessary. That's one of the things that he said. And he said a lot at his media session today. And maybe we'll have a little bit more time either in the final hour or tomorrow to talk about that. But that's good stuff, because I've always felt like really since the early days of Zeke, Dak's just needed better balance. And if he gets it, then, you know, I think offensively this team's as good as anybody damn near. Okay, well, Chuck, where are we going next?
Let's do some around the bases. Do you round up, and where are the Rangers in the latest power rankings as they're catching fire? But let's talk East Dallas Diesel. And if you're in the market for a truck, East Dallas Diesel, the only place that you need to look, and here's why. Every single truck on their lot, it is custom. I'm talking wheels, tires, trim. No cookie cutter rides here with East Dallas Diesel. Whether you want that rugged look, blacked out beast mode, or something lifted and loud, East Dallas Diesel, they've got it for you. And they've got every brand that you can think of. Ford, Chevy, GMC, Ram, Toyota, you name it. Whether your budget's $30K or $70K, they've got a truck for you that looks like $1 million without spending it. And here's why I love East Dallas Diesel. They're family owned and operated. Owner Tony Alberti, he's working there with mom, dad, his best buddy, Fernando. He's been in the truck and car game for nearly 30 years, and he's personally handpicking every truck on the lot and puts it through inspection so you know you're getting quality. And when it comes to financing, East Dallas Diesel is going to work to find you the best deal possible, no matter your budget. So if you want a truck that turns heads and doesn't look like every other one on the road here in DFW, head to East Dallas Diesel, where custom comes standard. Check them out today at eastdallasdiesel.com. That's eastdallasdiesel.com, or stop by the showroom and tell them Wolchuk sent you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.